Hugo Dislam from Farming Secrets. We've got the pleasure to have online Dr. Eli Ningham from Oregon and Tony Evans from Camperdown Compost at Camperdown. And we are this recording will go for about 1 hour, and we also will be answering some questions that farmers put forward, and we will open up the lines probably quite early in the piece, but we'll see how we go for farmers to ask questions. So let's get going. Elaine, could you just introduce yourself as to what you're doing, how many laboratories you've got, and far away, Elaine.
Okay, I'm Dr. Elaine Ingham. I am currently chief scientist at the Rodale Institute, which is the first organic farm in the United States. It's been in the Rodale family, and probably everyone knows J.I. Rodale, who was the first person in the U.S. to draw the connection between what's in the soil and human health. Much like Evie Balfour in England, kind of our version of Evie. Very instrumental in getting the organic movement in the United States up and going. And so that farm is the research farm. I have been there now for, about 9 months, starting to do the research that I've always wanted to do with documenting exactly how the microbiology in the soil is changing in replicated scientific trials. Did a lot of that work on my PhD and the early stages of Soil Food Web Incorporated, but I spent the last 15 years working with farmers. When we start working with a farmer, typically we'll get them understanding the importance of soil health, soil life, how you get that life back in there using well-made compost, aerobic compost with the proper balance of the bacteria and fungi, protozoa, and nematodes. And as soon as they see that this is working, it's so easy and so much less expensive. And, of course, Tony Evans here has some really good examples of exactly that that he'll probably be talking about. And so when they get going with seeing how easy it is, how inexpensive, how much less work, the animals are healthier, you know, the whole nine yards, they give up on the science, and they just convert everything over to the biological approach. And thank you so much for having replicated scientific studies that I can publish in scientific literature. Now, if you're dealing with people who won't listen and they can't get the biology and they won't make the compost right and, you know, it's a total failure, well, they throw their hands up and they'll go back to conventional agriculture with all the pesticides and chemicals and so forth because they just didn't grasp the importance of the biology. Well, once again, we lose the scientific study. So at Rodale now, I will be controlling what's going on in all of the fields. We have about 360 acres in Pennsylvania, and we are doing research on all of those acres, have put all of it into research projects this year. We, of course, have had 30 years of a trial comparing conventional and organic agriculture, and the report after 30 years of replicated data has shown hands down, without a question of a doubt, that it costs less to farm organically. The grower will end up with about $45,000 in profit in his pocket at the end of the year, whereas a conventional farmer will only end up with $22,000. The data, the economic analysis, the energy analysis, yields, all of those things are in the Farming Systems Trial report that came out in October, we are in the process of writing up those papers to go into scientific literature. So stay tuned if you want the science articles. If you will, if you don't require having the materials and methods and all the results in there, all their detail, if you want the summary information, then just get hold of Rodale Institute. So that's where I am now. I have quite a commute between home and where I work. But of course, Soil Food Web Incorporated is going on. I basically turned it over to the people who run each of the laboratories, and I think they're doing just fine. They don't have to have the research scientists standing over their shoulders. They're running the businesses, and they're doing a good job. So how many places do we have laboratories? Gosh, I think we're you have to differentiate between the big lab where we do the full food web, we do the nematode ID, we do mycorrhizal fungal assessment, we do protozoa, bacteria, fungi, active and total bacteria, active and total fungi. We have about 10 of those labs around the world. But lots of people have started small-scale laboratories where they do quick assessments of total bacteria, total fungi, protozoa that are active in the soil when you take the sample, and nematodes that are present. And very rapid, very easy assessments. You just have to learn how to use a microscope. Of course, we do that training at Soil Food Web, and people are starting to offer, you know, the ability to do that work for other people on, you know, very local scales within a town, within a village, within a certain area. You can come and have somebody with that microscope training do those assessments for you.
Fantastic. Can we give Tony a go now, Elaine?
Yeah.
Tony, far away. Can you just introduce yourself? And I think you're sort of mirroring something somewhat similar to what's happening at Rodale with conventional and what you're doing. So, Tony, can you please introduce yourself?
Yes, Tony Evans. I'm a director of Campion Compost based in southwest Victoria. And we first met Elaine about 11 or 12 years ago. I think it was the second time that she came out to Australia. And I think in one form or another, we've tried to follow the soil food web principles. And what we've found, the more work that we've done working on the soil food web lines, the more we realise that that seems to be the best method of fertilising and managing pasture and soils. And what's happening now is that we've been able to start to get some data or results back, which is probably, say, 3 or 4 years worth of work. And some of those results have been outstanding. And basically, it's working with the soil food web principles. And if we stay as true to those as we can, we're finding that we're saving farmers a lot of money. They're using the resources that they've got on their own farm. They may buy in some nutrients, but what we're finding that the further they get into a program, the less resources they're buying. So it's been a real eye-opener to us that it's taken us a while to come round to a pure food web approach, but the more we go down that path, the more we realise that it's the best option for farmers. Yeah.
Tony, Elaine, keep going.
Sometimes it's hard for, you know, growers to believe that raising animals or raising crops can be that easy. When you say that, that's always a hesitance on the growers' parts. They've got to see it to believe it. Tony?
Absolutely, and that's been one of the problems we've had, and we've had to go in with some hybrid programs to get the farmer to accept what we're saying as being valid. And then as we start with them and they get some confidence in the system, we're then starting to drop a lot of these other inputs out. And we've got farmers now that are basically almost independent of any fertiliser apart from maybe a little bit of nitrogen, and we're actually seeing the drive for nitrogen dropping off faster than we even anticipated. So, I think coming in with a hybrid program, although it's not ideal, it sort of got us in the door, in the gate on the farm, and they found it too hard to believe at the start, some of them, but the more and more they get into it, the more and more they realise they don't need to put the more and more products in there. So it is. We're asking them to throw out all of their learning from the last 20 or 30 or 50 years, depending on what age they are, and approach it from a totally different perspective. And it's a challenge to them.
Yeah. And it's, you know, what they don't understand often, even academic people in universities or government agencies, is that once the mechanical plow came along, it started to destroy the biology of the soil. And so their whole entire lifetime, we've been slowly, you know, the standard conventional approach to doing things was every year destroying more and more and more of that life. And so things were getting worse and worse, which means they had to be more and more dependent on those inorganic fertilizers, on the pesticides, on, you know, irrigating till, you know, we just, you know, we look at we can't grow crops because we don't have enough water. Whereas if we get the biology back into the soil, then we reverse all of that and we get the organisms that do all the proper things. So you can be raising your plants without pesticides or inorganic fertilizers or the requirement to till every time you see a weed. Weeds are just evidence of a very early successional, highly disturbed system. So how do you get your system to move beyond that early succession and that very disturbed stages to get the right biology in the soil? And so you solve that, getting the right biology into the soil by going out to these farmers and actually making the compost on site, helping them make good compost and not have to buy the equipment, not have to be responsible for figuring that all out at the very beginning. Right, Tony?
Absolutely. And the other beauty of them making it on their own farm was that they could put out larger volumes of compost, which was starting to be a bit of a game changer for them. So when they were buying the compost off us, they couldn't afford to buy the volumes like 3 tons of the hectare necessarily on a dairy farm. But once they started making their own, which they could do a lot cheaper and go at it, say, somewhere around 3 tons of the hectare, it was a game changer. Then we started to work on, you know, how much phosphorus and potassium was in 3 ton of compost. And then we started to work out how much is it being locked up when they do it conventionally. They weren't actually accessing any more phosphorus in a conventional system than what they were doing with the compost. And it was a much more available form. So suddenly they were seeing results where they weren't getting a lull in production because the reality was they were putting out as much available phosphorus and potassium than what they were previously. And that gave them a lot more conviction then to take the next step, whatever that might be. So there's some really good things happening with it was a real change in our business once they started making the compost on their own farm. It gave them a lot more conviction, and it was a no brainer for a dairy farmer when they got the waste streams there to work with anyway. So
Rodale, just this year we've started working with the neighboring dairy farms, both of which have been conventional for many years. And one of them is transitioning to organic, the other is staying conventional. And so with this improved ability to monitor biology and make sure that they're getting it right, the guy that's going organic is, you know, just, it's amazing the difference in the cows, their health, the ease of dealing with those animals as compared to the conventional one. Or just on the other side of our farm, it's just really kind of night and day turnaround for the man going organic. It goes very rapidly if you get the right biology in the soil.
Well, we had an example with Andrew and Linda Whiting's farm at Simpson where, and we have to allow for the fact there are seasonal conditions when it comes to fertility in the cows. So, but they're into their, they've completed 3 years now making their own compost and. I think they went from 25% empty cows after the 21-week period that they managed this on to 7% empty cows. So their conception rate improved dramatically once they'd been in the system for a bit over 12 months. So I don't know how we qualify that in dollar terms, what that's worth to them in extra production by having those cows back in calf early, but that's obviously a reflection on the cow's health if they're getting back in calf at much higher conception rates. So let alone the productivity of having them in milk sooner rather than later.
And you saw a significant decrease in veterinary bills, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously it sort of flows through if the cows are getting in calf, it means they're not there's no retained membranes, they're cleaning better. Obviously, their immune system's better because a lot of these things are infections that stop them getting in calf. So stronger immune systems helping them get in calf. And all these things flow through. They're all interrelated, so absolutely. Mm.
And we don't really have time to go into all of the benefits, so people really should give you a ring and have you show them what you're doing with. And you've got quite a few growers on the program now, right?
Absolutely. To give you an idea, we did this with one dairy farm a few years ago, and then the next year, seven of his friends and neighbours wanted to do it. The following year, which was last year, we replicated on 15 farms. And this year, it's still to be confirmed because they're still coming online, but we're working with probably close to 50 dairy farms this year. And we've got inquiry to work interstate and in other locations around Victoria, which we're looking at franchising at the moment because we can't physically manage the whole of the state ourselves. So we're getting inquiry from interstate and right across Victoria, and it's just sort of taken off. And these are conventional farmers. They're not organic farmers. They're farmers who understand that this has been driven by results. These farmers are getting results. And one of the results is lower input costs, therefore their bottom line is improved. And the other thing is they're growing more grass. We're showing results of at least the same amount of productivity, if not more productivity, in grass grain. So then the fact that it's a waste management solution is almost secondary for these farmers. So it's very exciting, and we're getting enormous response. We're actually leading the DPI into this field now because we've got 3 or 4 years' results on some farms. They're now using some of that information and promoting the system as well.